Oh, boy. So, welcome to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. You'll notice that this is not our usual call-in number. That is the voicemail number, because we are in Sacramento, California, our first stop on the tour. Amazing. I really find it hard to believe that I'm doing this. And my dad, the musician, is going to be so jealous.
Yeah, we're going on tour, just not your dad's kind of tour.
Not his kind of tour, but it's still a tour. With me today, as usual, is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm doing great.
And also joining us is local Tom Eichelman. He's the treasurer of the Humanist Association of the Greater Sacramento Area and has been an active member of the Freethought community for over 10 years. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing very good. We've got some announcements that we should start with. I got so into what we were talking about last week with that abortion phone call that I forgot to answer, I forgot to tell everybody who answered Peggy's challenge. Peggy's challenge is Peggy from Kent said that other atheists should step to the plate and help keep us on the air. As you know, we take donations. We also, do advertising. So I'd like to thank Luke the Atheist from Queensland, Australia's deep north, Josh from Bellcamp, Maryland, Alex from Milton Keynes, UK, and Thomas from Mercer Island up in Washington. I would say he's a local, but right now he's not a local.
And Josh has been known to be a local. That's our buddy Josh that has made it out to a few post shows, so thank you so much. While you're no longer in Washington, we love hearing from you.
Yes. we also have another announcement if you're listening right now. Next week, the Colorado Secular Conference will be happening again, Saturday, July 20th. Tickets are only $20, with discount tickets being available for students and seniors. There's a great list of speakers and info tables from local groups. You can go to www.cosecularconference.org. And yeah, if you can't tell, I'm having a little trouble with the whole time warp here. I think right now, when this airs, we're going to be in Phoenix, but I'm not in Phoenix. I'm in Sacramento.
Yeah, we're in Sacramento now. We're doing a little wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey travel as we go through the western United States.
I'm just so not used to being live, except I am live. Hey, everybody. So we're going to open up with some news, some very interesting news. This comes to us from the SF Gate. Ball State University hires intelligent design proponent professor. Ball State University in Indiana has hired a science professor who wrote a book on intelligent design, a move that comes after another professor at the state college was accused of teaching creationism. Ball State defended the hiring of Guillermo Gonzalez and said it does not support the teaching of intelligent design in science classes. Gonzalez, who will teach astronomy and physics, released a statement through Seattle-based Discovery Institute stating that he will not teach intelligent design in his science courses. Oh, boy.
Intelligent design. Perhaps if he's teaching intro astronomy and intro physics, it may not get into it. But, the guy's published some things on astrobiology that says it proves that we were all created by an intelligent designer.
Well, I think it's fairly obvious the problems with intelligent design in my neck of the woods, given that it's the Seattle-based Discovery Institute, home of Michael Behe, or at least his weirdness. Tom, I imagine you get a little bit of that around here in the Sacramento area.
Yeah, we get some of the religious influences here. Definitely we have William Jessup University up in Rockland, which they're kind of exerting themselves a little bit.
Is there a specific style to it? So I'm assuming it's an evangelical university?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I don't think we've seen anything like that in our other public universities and stuff, though, that I've heard of.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is I know a little bit about Ball State University, and it is state-run. And I guess the question here is, he's not teaching religious studies, he's not teaching history, he's not teaching some sort of something in the liberal sciences. He's teaching astronomy and physics.
But he is a proponent of his hypothesis, not even hypothesis because it's not testable, but his idea, his opinion, his notion that there was a God who created all that there is. I mean, what I see here is it would be like if I am a Spanish teacher and I'm teaching intro level Spanish and you come to find out that Ms. Friedman at some point had published an article saying that the Spanish language is actually derived from a strange dialect of Martian. I mean, it's not really a mainstream idea. There's no backup evidence for that, but it's okay because all I'm I'm doing is teaching intro Spanish. And you sort of always wonder, would that come into my teaching? And if I had that crazy idea about how the, you know, the etymology of the entire Spanish vocabulary came to be, I don't know that my principal would trust me as a Spanish teacher, even for intro level.
Yeah, how do these guys make the connection between their science and their intelligent design or whatever is beyond me. They have some disconnect between their theories, definitely.
You know, there are scientists out there, and I'm actually spacing on their names right now, but people who participated in the Kitzmiller's trial.
Yeah, Behe.
On the side that actually believes in science, who were faithful Catholics and stuff like that. So I don't want to say that religious belief is completely incompatible with science because the evidence isn't there. But what we can say is that if you work with the Discovery Institute, chances are you're going to put something ahead of the science. You're going to put something ahead of the evidence. You're going to believe in this argument of authority, and I cannot believe that this isn't going to color his teaching of physics.
And, you know, and the university has gotten criticism for this, and I'm interested to see where it goes, because they actually fired a professor who at the time had been teaching intelligent design.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes, and I'm sure that his students will be keeping a close watch on it, too.
Ball State was one of the universities I was looking at back when I thought university might be a good idea, but So that's enough for the bad news. Let's talk about Sacramento. Let's talk about the place where we're at. So, Tom, what sort of groups do you have in the Sacramento area?
Well, we have a growing community in Sacramento. We have at least 18, at least. It you know, kind of changes every year, groups in Sacramento that kind of go along with the whole free thought idea.
Yeah.
And several of the groups have been around for quite a long time, 25 years for the Humanist Association, the Greater Sacramento Area. Atheists and Other Freethinkers just celebrated their 20th anniversary. And then there's been a lot of new groups that have come up with the whole meetup genre, you know. And they've actually exploded in membership. The internet's been great. We have, if you add up all the members to all the groups and discount, you know, the overlap, because I, like many people, am a member of several of the organizations. I like to support them all that I can.
I think we're no stranger to repeat members either.
Yeah, we have over 2,000 people that are, you know, on these different groups. Now, how active they are, that's another question. We certainly want to do more things to get more people active.
Well, from where I sit, I was actually really surprised when we were briefing to do this episode about, you know, well, what's going on in Sacramento? What are you guys doing, you know, in the atheism visibility movement? And we got like five or six pages back or something like that. And it was a lot of really interesting stuff going on here. And this is a town of 500,000, I think, or 550,000 or something like that?
Yeah, the area is over a million people.
Oh, the area is over a million people. Okay, but that's maybe, and I guess what I'm saying here is kudos to you guys, because it's incredibly active, and it looks really cool.
Thank you.
I was really impressed. So,
Considering how many people are non-believers in the area, we got a long ways to go.
Of course.
We need 100,000 people to get active in this community easily.
So, well, to that end, you know, in your intro, it says you've been in the community for 10 plus years. What did it look like in 2003?
When I first got started, I was raised religious, and, you know, it was always me against the world, it seemed like. And my first exposure to the community here was through some newspaper articles. We have here in Sacramento, headquartered here in Sacramento, the Brights, which is a national organization, if you're not familiar with it. And they got some publicity, and so I started following the community. And then while I was doing all the stuff online earlier in the internet process, I found out that they were having a free thought day. And I was curious what that was. So I went to it. And it was an emotional experience for me, actually, because I listened to the speakers and I went and visited all the booths and I was like, wow, these are my people. I you know, it had been me alone for so long. And then all of a sudden, here were the people that I knew. And it was funny because I helped them clean up after the show. And then I went to dinner with them. And then I was on the committee.
That is how it goes, I think, for a lot of us. Yeah.
I haven't completely done that to somebody before.
So that was, I got involved right away, you know, as soon as I found him.
There's something also really powerful about seeing so many people in one place, and you say, wow, I'm not really as solitary as I thought maybe I was, or wow, we're really big, or we're something. There's a lot of us here. And
yeah,
I can only imagine what that would have felt like to someone who had never gone to any kind of events before.
Yeah, it wasn't huge, you know, but we had it in a good public place, so we had a lot of walk-by traffic, which always makes it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we get 100 to 150 people to actually attend from the community. That's where it was. This Free Thought Day that we have every year. Now we are in our, 12th year, I think it is going to be this coming, year. We have it, every October as close as we can to the date that, Governor Phipps of Massachusetts declared that spectral evidence would not be allowed in trials anymore in the courts, which ended the Salem witch trials.
Okay. Gotta ask. Spectral evidence?
Spectral evidence, where people were saying, I saw this spirit, an evil spirit oftentimes. Yes.
Really?
Having been raised in Massachusetts and having a little familiarity with the Salem witch trials, it happened many years ago, Sam.
Yeah. Okay. And this was 1694, yes.
Crazy place.
Yeah. So, people were saying, I saw an evil spirit go into this person, and then all of a sudden that person was a witch, and they were getting burned at the stake.
Yeah.
What a neat day to commemorate, though. That's really cool.
It is. He was an amazing man, Governor Phipps, and so he was the first person that we inducted into our Hall of Fame. Of course, this was before I was part of the community. But, and so every year we induct new people that we feel have been contributors to free thinking and reason. And
well, there's an interesting thing here. Was the governor an atheist?
I don't think he was.
Cool.
His issue was that somebody saw his wife supposedly get a spirit in her. So he's like, whoa, wait a minute. She's not a witch. Okay. So
sometimes it takes that personal experience to sort of question why are people saying this and what is the evidence behind what they're saying?
Yeah, it does. And so he was, a voice for reason, whether he was religious or not. Reason held the day there then.
So what does it look like? I guess what's the religious environment around here and how does it interact with the atheist community?
We do have a pretty good sized religious community. I mean,
I did see the enormous neon crosses.
Yeah. We have several mega churches in the area that are raking in big bucks, and they have some up on the hilltop, you know, and some that, have been very active. I went to one that, they had a speaker come and talk about, his, you know, proof for the existence of God, and they invited everybody to come, but when it came to the question and answer time, they didn't listen to everybody. So it was a little disappointing, but not unexpected. We've had some people like, you know, we had a legislator here, passed the law. It was a Sacramento legislator that passed the law to have "In God We Trust" engraved in the Capitol Visitor Center. They just remodeled the Capitol Visitor Center in Washington, D.C. It was our legislator that put that law through.
Because that's necessary, of course.
Something we're so proud of.
Yeah.
So there's a huge religious influence in the area. We are kind of a red area, although I think we're swinging a little bit more to a more liberal stance, especially certain communities. There are certain communities that are more liberal and some that are more conservative. So there is kind of a line in the community.
So you've got a coalition of reason group starting up here. Did you guys do a billboard campaign? Because that's something that Coalition of Reason likes to do.
Yes, that was, we were one of the earlier communities to do it. We did it about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And they came to town and put up 10 billboards, smaller size billboards, all around the Sacramento area.
Yeah.
Some of them were nicely placed. Some of them were kind of hard to find, but they were very effective. I was one of the media representatives, so, you know, we got some airtime on TV and radio. And the exposure was great. It brought a lot more people into the community.
So we put up, I think we did a couple signs, and the response was you know, duh, whatever.
Blah. So what? Huh?
Yeah. So what was the response to the signs up here?
Well, we actually had three of our billboards get vandalized.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, we had, of course, there was massive denial in the religious community that they would have done that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I got on one of the talk shows on Catholic radio, one of the cable or satellite Catholic channel. And the commentator there, who was from the Sacramento area, he was like, I don't know any Christians that would do anything like that. None of my friends would vandalize anything, right?
Well, you know, if they would do that, then they're clearly not Christians.
Right.
No true Scotsman all over.
And their whole attitude was, well, you're just doing this as a conspiracy theory thing. You did it yourselves. Yeah. This guy was really interesting because one of the billboards that got vandalized was in a field out between Sacramento and Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he drove by it and he saw it and there were some cows out in the field.
Cows must have spray painted the board.
Very good, Becky.
Oh, my goodness.
You got his answer.
You know, the Chick-fil-A ad is not real.
Yeah.
Delinquent cattle that you have in Sacramento.
So the cows had to fly. Not pigs or cows, they were flying. And they can write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned the... Really? Cows? Really?
Yes.
I try to move on. I can't move on from that.
I'm giggling.
Picture that.
Yeah.
Spray painting. They got the spray paint at the hardware store, I guess.
Wow. He's honestly... That's a real honest response, of course.
Yeah.
So... There was the Sacramento legislator who wanted In God We Trust put in the visitor center, but Michael Newdow is also down here who is heading to the Supreme Court to remove In God We Trust from our currency. What's the interface with that discussion locally?
It's great. We're very lucky to have Michael in this community. He has his First Atheist Church of True Science, which is kind of part of the whole pursuing this thing legally. And we have.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, he wants to build a community out of it, too. And so we have basically a monthly meeting. It's every first moon day. It's when there's a new moon so that we can go out and look at the stars and actually see the evidence for what's going on out there. And we have a moment of science during the meetings.
Yeah.
So this is one of the many groups that I continue to support.
Moment of silence or moment of science?
Science.
Yeah.
Did I say silence?
We approve.
I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dan.
Yeah. So we have, you know, instead of a sermon, we have this. So we talk about all variety of subject matter.
It speaks to, you know, there's a lot of coverage in the general media right now of the need for non-believers to have community and camaraderie together. And a lot of the groups we belong to do that. And it's neat to see that sort of those communities taking shape in slightly different ways all around the country. And sometimes you have people, multiple little groups doing that in one area, sort of coming together around a sort of a central theme. You know, having, as Jerry DeWitt said about, 3 weeks ago or so, having fellowship, for lack of a better word. I mean, that's not something that's exclusive to the religious communities and religious people.
Right, exactly. They want to own the term like they want to own so many other terms, but they don't. It's something that we can use too, and that is something that the Facts Church is trying to build as a sense of community. So we'd like to see that part of it grow too.
So if we have somebody who's in Sacramento and listening and they'd like to participate, where would you send them? Online.
If they want to go to the Facts Church meeting, they go to facts.org. Okay. If they want to find out about all the different groups, they can go to the Coalition of Reason's website. Just look up Sacramento Coalition of Reason, and there's a couple different links, but you'll find one of them. You'll find your way there. Most of these groups are linked on that website with their calendars, and most of their events are on it, if they're hooked up the right way. Some of them you have to go to their websites to find out what they're doing.
Sounds like there's something for everyone.
Oh, yeah. It's great. The Coalition of Reason is such a wonderful thing because we have people have chosen their different type of organization that they prefer to be a member of, but we can all cooperate too and share this information. And so it's helped bring us all together. And that's what we need more of too, because, you know, with the famous herding cats thing.
Not herding cows, right?
No, not herding cows, not flying.
I'm still stuck on the spray painting cows.
I'm going to be... That's probably, I think I know what I'm dreaming about tonight.
Yeah.
This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about Sacramento and some weird thing that happened on the radio that I just have to share with you.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. And I promised a story.
And it's a doozy.
And it's a personal one, and this is where I get to feel good about us. And I was driving down from Sacramento.
No, driving down from...
To Sacramento. From Redding. And I was scanning through the AM band looking for something interesting to talk to or listen to. Well, talk to, if I'm being honest, because I do a little bit of screaming at the radio now and again. And I happened on 770, and it was some guy on a phone. The first two words I heard was intelligent design. Okay, scan button stop. I'm listening to this. And he says that intelligent design is real. He does the whole, watch has a watchmaker, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard it. But then he says the atheists are destroying the world. They're destroying the world and they're bringing upon the apocalypse. You know what they're doing now? Well, they have atheist summer camp now, where there's summer camp and you don't have to believe in God. And I'm like, okay, Camp Quest. Yeah, I'm a part of that. Yeah. And you know what else they're having? Rapture parties. And I'm like, no way. And then he reads a quote from the Ask an Atheist website. What are the odds?
He's been driving at this point for about 9 hours, and he phones me and he says, you have to look up this website and this radio station.
I'm driving to Sacramento in a relatively unpopulated area, scanning the AM band, stop on a station that's talking about me. It's a radio show in Oklahoma with a phone call from a pastor in Las Vegas. I think I've arrived. It was really obviously us, because it was the line about real estate and cars and stuff like that, which was on a couple of our press releases. Joining us now is Judy Saint, and she's an extremely active voice in the Sacramento Freethought community. In addition to sitting on the boards of multiple organizations, she started an FFRF chapter for advocacy and has begun publishing a regional newsletter under the banner of Sacramento Coalition of Reason. How you doing, Judy?
Oh, just fine. Thank you, Sam.
Very active, multiple board of directorships going on there. Is that really symbolic of what Sacramento is like? It sounds like...
Yes, we're all on multiple boards.
Yeah.
We have to each have a chapter of everything for each of us. A lot of people are very active in a lot of different communities. Not so much on the boards, though. That is a little unusual.
Well, it's not too different in Seattle. And one thing that we do get a lot is, why are there so many of these organizations for one reason? And
well, you know, there are no two that are exactly alike.
Yeah.
When I do a page 7 of the newsletter, you know, I have the listing of all 18 of these things. And actually, I started the 18th one. And some people said, why another one? Well, each one is very unique, very different. The one that I started is a very aggressive watchdog arm of separation issues, and there are reasons for that.
Yeah.
But every group is different, and they all cooperate. That's the wonderful thing. It's so cooperative. It was just a natural thing to do a newsletter for everybody. I was doing a newsletter for one of them and including things from everybody else. So it just made sense, and I went to each of them, and I said, well, how about this idea? And they all went, sure.
So how do you put the newsletter together?
Takes all month.
Takes all month.
Well, I do a lot of Facebook research.
Okay.
That's my, I do spend a lot of time collecting things, but I love it. You know, when you're retired, you can do that.
Hmm. I don't know what you mean, Facebook research at all.
You're supposed to laugh.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I would laugh, but it hit a little close
to home. I do get a lot of links on, I have several Facebook resources that I go to, but also a lot of other things that I monitor.
Yeah.
I get a lot of government information and so forth.
And it seems like it's been a real asset to the community. It's fairly new, correct? Or
mm-hmm.
And it was so impressive that Hamet Mehta of the Friendly Atheist mm-hmm. blog featured you.
That was very nice. We got a shout out from him saying more communities should do this, and some attention from the Religious News Service. Yeah, it made quite a splash.
Excellent. That's kind of a really nice model to have for other kinds of communities around the United States and outside the United States too.
I'm actually really interested. How do you is it a printed newsletter? Is it mostly an online newsletter?
No, it's totally online because I wanted no money in or out.
Oh, okay.
No advertising, sort of like Mad Magazine.
Yes. Mike will appreciate that reference.
Yeah. No money in or out. It's just subscribe. Getting the distribution was a bit of a when everyone saw what was happening, they all jumped on board.
Of course.
But you have to have that, especially the meetups. You don't have access to any sort of an email list.
Right.
So you need to cooperate. So I became, the newsletter became a member of all the meetups, and then I asked all the people in charge of the meetups to make the newsletter an administrator so they could send a direct custom email list out. So there's a lot of involvement, a lot of things that I had to figure out.
And so if people want to know what Sacramento's doing, they can access the newsletter via any of the meetups or any of the organizational websites?
SacramentoReason.org.
Excellent.
Fantastic. We actually have another reason we wanted to talk with you today. As listeners of the show might be aware of, we did a lot of work for the Referendum 74 campaign, and just recently the Supreme Court made a couple of very important rulings, one specifically about Proposition 8 here in California.
Proposition 8.
Yeah.
My partner Kathy and I have been waiting to be married for 5 years. And, you know, you see on the news, I'm going to be a little honest here because I love this radio show, and I know you guys are honest and you appreciate a little different perspective. You see on all the media, gay and lesbian couples kissing, getting married, waving the flags, and we're kind of doing that too, but you know, there are a lot of us who are just trail weary.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think you're going to hear that very often.
Mm.
I'm almost starting to cry because it's been 5 years since I wanted to marry Kathy. We were ready 5 years ago. We didn't think Prop 8 would pass.
I think we were in Arizona when it did, and there was a similar law in Arizona, and we figured it would pass in Arizona, and it would fail in California, and we were kind of okay with that, with the population distribution, and, you know, I love Arizona. It's a shame about the people.
Yeah, well, you can't have mob... Charlie Brown said that, I think. You know, I love humanity. It's the people I can't stand.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't have mob rule. You know, there are a lot of... Depending on who you listen to, there's a lot of different spin, but it's just mob rule.
Exactly.
And, you know, when I say trail wear, I mean, for 5 years, I've been watching every court battle, every argument, and you win, and then they put a stay on it, and then you win again, and then they put a stay on it. You know, 5 years. Can you imagine 5 years of wanting to marry somebody, and you can't. You follow it in the news every single day for 5 years. So when the decision came down, I think maybe I was the only lesbian not jumping for joy waving a flag, but it just makes you trail weary. You're just tired.
I can see kind of where you're going at there. I mean, it's why didn't this happen 5 years ago? Why are we even voting on this?
Well, when we were doing the campaign for Referendum 74 in Washington State, there was most of us who were pro Ref 74 really didn't even want it on the ballot. It had already been ratified by our state legislature, and then you know, folks say, no, we don't like what the legislators did. We're going to turn it around or try and turn it around.
Other people hear about it as kind of an argument pro con, where you stand. It's a religious argument against our side and so forth. And that's what the public hears about. But when you're living it, it's a whole different thing. Can you imagine your rights? I mean, what you feel are your rights taken away, argued over, and you keep winning, and you can't have it yet, day in, day out for 5 years. Anyway, on a happier note, October 24th.
Congratulations.
Here we go. And we have found that we're getting a lot of very positive. Thank you very much. We're getting a lot of very positive in the community. We have our venue set. We have rented things. We have the caterer. It's going to be really tasty. You'll all want to come. And so far, everybody has taken our money.
And
so good.
Apparently, apparently they're happy about it.
They'll make you a cake. They'll do your flowers.
Yeah. We're very happy to pump our thousands of dollars into the community.
Excellent.
I really, the trail weary thing, you're right. You don't hear that a lot. But at the end of the day, I just said this, but I feel like they're rights. They're human rights. We call them human rights because every human should have them. They're civil rights. Why is this discussion of nomenclature even happening?
I don't think people realize what rights there are. They just think, you know, what are they talking about? You know,
right.
But if you had to jump through the hoops we have to jump through just to do the normal day in, day out thing of living together, pulling your money together, trying to buy a house together. Oh, taxes, don't even get me started. But they've made us jump through horrible hoops, different for the state than for the federal. It's just been crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to be negative.
What really hit home for me, and that was that, Sam, you were undergoing medical treatment, and we were not married, and nobody in the entire process batted an eye. I would say, my husband is in the hospital. Can I access his room? What can I do? Nobody batted an eye. Nobody questioned whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that really made it very personal for me, too, because I don't have any claim to family kinship to you, but nobody is even really caring because, you know, you're a man and I'm a woman.
Yeah. It's just a weird
thing. So now we have the role of the public on our side, and it's because they came out. Gays and lesbians came out. You even hear about congressmen and so forth because their daughter is lesbian, so now they're switching sides. Well, the same thing we need to do for atheists. And that's, I'm taking everything I've learned from the gay and lesbian community, how the tide has turned, and applying that toward atheism. And so my big thing, and I'm wearing the shirt tonight, says Ask an Atheist. The big thing is we have to come out.
Yeah. And you guys are doing a great job of that here. And I'm usually of a divided mind. Becoming an atheist activist, it was a bit weird because I was very much into the marriage argument. I'd done a lot of fundraising for stuff like that. And then when I decided to become an atheist activist, I had this little bit of a hedge, like, do I really need to start this conversation when this thing that I really care about hasn't happened yet? And then Referendum 74 happened, and I saw an opportunity to do both. And that's important, and that's something I don't think we say in the atheism community a lot, is we can have more than one target, and universal human rights is a good one. And once we got Referendum 74 passed, I was able to relax a little bit because I hit a goal, and I did it by talking about atheism.
Yeah, you talk about putting two things together. It all comes down to one thing, religious infiltration into the legal system.
Yeah.
It all boils down to that. So that's why I started the local chapter of Freedom From Religion Foundation. You need to keep the two separate. If they're separate, look at the other countries, the first world countries. We're like the only first world country left where the religious are trying so hard to get into the government. And I did say first world country.
So the FFRF, how long has the local FFRF chapter been?
Just a handful of months. And you know, before we even had our official announcement, we were already taking a local city to task with the attorneys from Wisconsin. That was our second big thing that happened, and now we've got a third. Then these are making the local big newspapers. They're big issues. Now that there's a very strong arm here, and in 6 months, that's three cities that have made the paper and have been shot down every time. We've won every time, by the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm a little curious. Can you tell me about some of these stories? Because
well, there's a little town north of here, and I don't think I'll name names. Little town north of here, about a half hour's drive, that was going to put a live manger scene and invite a church from another city far away, actually, to come in and put on a puppet show called A Star to Follow as part of their town celebrations. That was totally shut down. It was not an easy fight. Then the second thing was in this, a different city, also north end of town. They were showing a little bit of involvement in this chili cook-off, which is a wonderful family thing.
Yeah.
And it all the money and everything went to an evangelical missionary project. And when that was called out, then we forced the city to actually disavow any involvement, stop their involvement. The person who had done it was put on leave for a week. They went in the newspaper and said, nope, we have nothing to do with that. So that was a win.
Hmm.
And then yes, thank you.
I'll respect your decision not to name names, but
Loomis and Roseville and Rancho Cordova. So I haven't told you about Rancho Cordova. They were celebrating their city anniversary, and they were starting with a celebration of faith as their kickoff day with 10 churches, all of one religion, by the way.
Ten churches, not
churches,
a church and a synagogue.
They were all participating, and then they were going to all go to a park and have a prayer led by the government officials.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, they were all amazingly of the same religion. That was just incredible.
As much as the bench in Florida, how as cool as it is, and it's nice that there's an atheist thing somewhere, getting just rid of this stuff off the public square, I think, is really the route to go. And I'm glad you guys are having success with that.
Well, there's a toss-up. You know, if you can't do that, then you do like the bench.
Absolutely.
You go there and you say, let's have our place.
Yeah.
And when we confronted the city of Rancho Cordova and said, you know, we should have been approached, you know, our community, also Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, all these, we all should have been approached to participate, then it would have been a whole different story.
Right.
And they said, well, none of you came forward.
Oh, we can't come forward if we don't know that.
It was in the basement in a locked box with a sign that said, beware the leopard.
Is this Hitchhiker's? Oh, I thought it was a Hitchhiker's Guide to
the
Galaxy.
No, it's a Hitchhiker's Guide. It's absolutely a Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes, thank you. Good job.
It's, you know, and that's the thing is I have to admit I might troll this a little bit where my first inclination were I to face this would be to get the Church of Satan involved and say, you should ask for a monument. And stuff like that. And that's not the right attitude.
I'm not really with you, Sam.
Yeah, not a lot of people are.
Well, I think if you have a very active voice for Church of Satan, you might have some people that are, you know, devout Christians from mega churches saying, no, maybe we'll pull out too if you get these guys lost too.
It's just the idea that we're going to put a religious monument on government ground as some sort of, you know, as some sort of epitaph to our values. One of our values is multiple voices, is the fact that, you know, a lot of people have come here or were here and they had a bunch of, you know, different religions and different cultures and stuff like that. So if we should really do that, every religion that exists in the United States should be wherever you're going to put a religious monument, which means you'd never have any time or any space to do anything. Everybody in, you know, everybody in the Senate floor would have to sit on a monument. And
you know what kind of monuments I'd provide.
I was starting to think about that too, and I'm just going to let that one end.
I'd have a variety, and I'd choose.
I mean, it's part of our American heritage that really we have a variety of voices. I just learned tonight about, you know, the Day of Reason connected with the day of, you know, that the judge
National
ruled.
National Day of Prayer?
No. What Tom was talking about last segment where you say, hey, we commemorate this thing that happened in the 1600s where a judge said, no, we're not going to have bunk evidence be accepted as evidence in court. And that's part of our American history. And I'm almost positive that judge was a religious man, since nearly everyone was Puritan or Congregational at the time. But there's a variety of voices in our American history, and we can acknowledge that without saying, let's put up a monument of the Ten Commandments and let's start everything with a Christian prayer.
Yeah, but I think you're using reason too much.
You're listening to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. When we come back, we're going to take questions from the crowd.
Are you tired of being immersed in religious nonsense? You're certainly not alone. Everywhere we turn, it's thank God this and God bless that. It's high time for a pushback, and Reasonist Products is here to help. As the number one atheist t-shirt company in the world, Reasonist Products combines satire with style to draw positive attention to the atheism movement. Express your atheism. Come out with cotton. Visit ReasonistProducts.com today. Reasonist Products. Wear the cause.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Still like this version. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. I think maybe it's... I'm going to get an applause sign, I think.
Yeah, you could get used to some clapping.
Yeah, you know, that was the thing that I missed the most when we left television, is because I had this one episode with Libby that we actually started having fun with each other and riffing. It was like the first time I really felt the performance thing going on, and there was a crowd and they were laughing, and just for a minute I felt a little bit like Jon Stewart. And
then it was all taken away from you.
And then it was all taken away from me. Until today. So, we have some questions. So if you would come on up to the mic and give us your name and what your question is.
Okay, my name is Larry, and my question is this. Given that many people report that before they found God, before they found religion, they were leading such horrible lives, that they were leading lives of crime, or they were on drugs, and they found God, and they felt saved, and they turned their life around. Do you feel guilty when you're influencing or you're challenging their beliefs when it has improved their life?
That's sort of a difficult one for me. I've been alluding to it on the air. I wrote an article recently on my blog about myself and how I cope with depression. And for me, it is the self-responsibility thing. And I don't like to take comfort away from other people. And I say that in the article, is there are times when I have that discussion. There are times when when somebody says, well, AA did this for me, and if I didn't believe in a higher power, I would just fall apart. And I'll say, well, it wasn't the higher power, it was you. If you believed in yourself just a little bit more, you could accomplish so much more. And that's me. Is I have responsibility for myself to be the moral person that I want to be, and that responsibility it's awesome to me. It's in the literal sense of the word, not the cool 80s sense of the word. It just fills me with this sense of empowerment that religious people talk about when they talk about their higher power. And just that sense of being a member of a community, of any community, of Tacoma, Washington, of the United States of North America, and to know that that through my own initiative and by, you know, just by putting one foot in front of the other, I can be a part of that conversation. It really gives me a sense. And so rather than tell them that they're wrong in that scenario, I talk about that. So
I was going to say I get a little bit of Wizard of Oz as well, saying you had it all along. And if someone reaches a point where they're being challenged and they find themselves saying, I kind of see what you mean, and now I doubt whether Jesus existed, whether God is as I imagined him or her prior to this moment, that person still has within them their own capabilities, their own, you know, accomplishments for having turned around their lives to that degree. And the other thing that we say is, you know, most people are better than what their religions dictate. Yeah. Most people, as individuals, can elect to do the right thing while maintaining that cognitive bias and maintaining that allegiance to their particular religion.
Since Mike's not here, I'll use his line. You know, the Bible has rules for slavery. The Bible has rules about how to beat your wife. Not a lot of people out there keeping slaves. Not a lot of people out there beating their wife. The people who made those decisions didn't make those decisions because their Bible said. People made those decisions because people decided that that was the wrong thing to do, that we could be better than this. And every religious person I've ever met is better than the books they think they get their morality from. Now, there is that one guy who says, if I didn't believe in Jesus, I'd go kill you right now. Okay, that just makes you a jerk.
Please keep believing
keep
in
believing,
Jesus.
Yeah, but don't sell that as the big reason why I should believe in Jesus.
So we've got Tom back with us right now.
Yep. And a lot of this, you know, I try to do this kind of thing with people gently. I don't want to be in their face about their beliefs, but you try to introduce a little doubt in their mind, and which they probably already have.
Yes.
You know, and say, could you accomplish this without this God, you know, or this spirit or whatever is helping you? And just gradually grow their, you know, knowledge of what they can do for themselves that way.
Yeah. It's, and Becky, thanks for doing my job there. I completely spaced. So, next question, please.
Yes, hi. My name is Walt Flowers, and I've been involved with the atheist groups here in the Sacramento area, and specifically the Ask an Atheist event that we do just to kind of get out with the public and meet people and everything. But I just wanted to touch on a point that's come up recently in our conversation about dealing with people who are going through deconverting out of a religious indoctrination place into a more rational place or humanist place or atheist place in their worldview. So we've been talking about how we communicate back with people who have been indoctrinated within our in-group. And one of the points that came up is if we've developed and we've come to an atheist worldview or a humanist worldview or a rationalist worldview, even an anti-theist worldview, we're thinking on a higher wavelength than we were back in that day, like for my own purposes, when I was indoctrinated as a 9-year-old boy into Southern Baptist religion. So to talk to people who might be an adult and still be with the Southern Baptist religion, this is where we're looking at the ways of communicating with them and, you know, kind of correlating the mimetic concept or the grander concepts. So our conversation was, and we ended up talking on these higher levels, but should we be going back and talking more in that seventh grade or sixth grade reading level that perhaps maybe the majority of Americans are using? So, I mean, this is more of a educational point in our increasing dialogue with the powers that be, and in a lot of cases those are still your indoctrinees. Do we need to be readdressing these things since we're, you know...
Right.
I love this question. Walt, right?
Yes.
I love this question. I'm an educator during my school year, which is one of the reasons I'm able to take off a month right now and go around the country. But one of the things that's been really essential for me in my teaching is always stressing inquiry. And I've taught students from pre-kindergartners all the way up through 12th grade and have tutored college-level students. And you can take an inquiry model, and that's just by asking questions. What do you think about this? Could you do this? Asking lots of hypotheticals. Who, what, when, where, why? Asking very surface-level questions of definitions. What does this mean to you? And taking it up a few levels to, could you analyze this? Or what would happen if? Could you hypothesize? That can be done at so many different levels. You can do that with someone who's 5 years old, and you can do that with someone who is college age and beyond. And so I would say that not, you know, we were talking earlier about scientists who also maintain a belief in God or maintain a religious faith. And you can have people that have way beyond a seventh grade reading level who still maintain these holdouts of cognitive dissonance. But through any of those kinds of inquiry questions, you can really reach, I think, a lot of different people. And so if you can phrase things as questions and not as assertions of what you should believe, then I think that that's often a very effective way to not have someone be put on the defensive, but to keep a dialogue open.
Yeah, it's all about asking the questions, right? And getting people to think for themselves instead of accepting the rote memorization that, you know, these are the authorities and you have to believe what they tell you is true. No, you don't. Everybody, yeah, you know, can figure it out for themselves what the truth is. So explore it.
That is the scientific, you know, process right there. And what, you know, there's also something that we were doing there, which I try to capitalize on sometimes, is if you come to the conclusion yourself, I didn't convince you. You found it out. It's your discovery. And that gives people the possibility of looking at it a bit more with some ownership, but also it's going to get around their doubt a little bit, or their preconceptions that religion gave them if they arrived at it themselves than if I just told them.
Yeah, and you can do that at any level too.
Absolutely.
You can start with young, you can start with old, and treat everybody depending on where their level of development is.
Hi, my name is Kira. And
can you step forth to the microphone? Thanks.
My name is Kira, and thank you so much for being here. This is my first meetup I've ever been to.
Oh, wow. Welcome to our groups, Kira.
I was also raised as a Southern Baptist, and I have a daughter now who's 8 years old, and she is at Camp Quest.
Yeah, Camp Quest. Camp Quest West is in session right now.
It's in session right now, which is one of the reasons I can make it tonight. I wanted something so different for her. And I see we're actually having a meetup on July 28th, our first SACFAN family-oriented meetup. It'll be at Curtis Park on a Sunday at 12. And my question is, as a parent who doesn't want that for my child, I was so heavily indoctrinated as a Southern Baptist child. How can I, you know, I, like you're saying, use the reason method, ask her to use her mind to look at things analytically, but not indoctrinate her the same way I was indoctrinated and allow her to make her own decisions?
Becky's pointing at me.
Because you weren't raised religious. And how did you maintain that?
It was really easy. I hate to undersell it because this is such a big thing. Your religious indoctrination is so common in America that it seems hard. The best way to show me that religion didn't make a lot of sense was actually to go to a church. I wasn't primed that church was going to be great. I wasn't primed to believe in this stuff. I went in there and I saw it, and it gave me this external perspective. And it's like, none of this makes any sense. It's like I'm coded in this, I was coded in this religious Teflon, like religious ideas would get thrown at me and sometimes they would stick, especially if they were like acidic tomato juice, but they just eventually just sort of fell off. I went on the grand tour of religions for a while. I played in the New Age movement. I read a lot of books on Eastern religions. I read a lot of books on Christian humanism even, and just it never stuck. So I think doing what you're doing is really the best thing you can do because it's going to be easier for her to arrive at her own questions.
Yeah. And Sam, it sounds like you didn't have any of the pressures. I mean, you can go to a church and you can experience that, but there's also the family pressures.
Yes.
And the behind the scenes things going on that are so difficult to overcome.
That's important. That's a really big point is not only was my immediate family not religious, but my extended family is also not particularly religious. So I didn't have the secret evangelical aunt, you know, which is actually a fairly common story. So that's something you got to watch out for.
And it sounds like you're doing a great job by providing your daughter a community where she can feel like she belongs. And that could be Camp Quest. That could be her Boys and Girls Club. That could be her after school soccer team. Anytime when a child feels like they can belong to a place, anytime when a human feels like they belong, then they're not going to go and be so susceptible and vulnerable to someone saying, you belong with us. And oh, by the way, the reason you were brought here is Jesus. So it sounds like you're really doing some neat things, and I look forward to how your daughter turns out.
Thank you. Yeah. This is for you. Thanks for coming out. We got time for one really quick question, so let us know who you are and what your question is.
I'm Joel, and I was just wondering about, have you talked to your family member who are religious, maybe and then relative or friend? When you try to debate with them, were you able to convince them to the other side, or how do they hold their reason for keeping in the?
It's for me. It's a difficult question. I've had debates with my family for decades, and it's gotten to the point where the discussions don't go anywhere anymore. They never did go anywhere. It was always they fell down on their sense of reason and just had their leap of faith. Always a difficult thing with the family. You know, it's an individual case-by-case thing. I think you have to figure out how to do it. You can get a lot of answers through these different groups and through their different publications that are available. It just depends on, you know, the religion you were raised in and your family situation. Some are more open, some aren't. It's hard to give one pat answer, I think.
I grew up in a pluralistic Jewish environment, and my father was always very doubtful of the truth claims that were said in synagogue, but he really liked the community. It was our date night all through high school. I would go with Dad. I saw my mom when my youngest sibling went through his bar mitzvah training, said, you're now considered an adult within the Jewish community, and you can make your decision. And my brother said, good, I'm no longer a Jew. And my mom said, fine. She said, I did that. I gave you your adulthood, so.
That's amazing because I had the Catholic experience and it was exactly the opposite.
Well, so had my mom as a child.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The great thing now is that this can be your family, that we can all be part of it.
That's true.
And we can do more events. You know, if you have something you want to do, sign up on the meetup pages and get other people to go do them with you. If you want to go on a hike, if you want to have family events, if you want to do any of these things, get people that think like you do and, you know, do it with them. And you'll enjoy it a lot more that way, I think.
I'll be honest with you. Only half the people who I consider family are inherited. You know, the rest of them I picked. And that's cool. For me, I've had two serious religious conversations with family members. The first was with now my father-in-law. It was our second time meeting her family. He woke me up around noon. I work nights. Well, that's my excuse. He said, well, I'm having peel and eat shrimp. You wanna have peel and eat shrimp? I'm like, yes. So I go out and we sit on the patio and have peel and eat shrimp. And then halfway, you know, finally I'm waking up. My neurons are starting to fire. I'm coming out of the morning fog and wait a minute. I thought you were Jewish. No, I am Jewish, but I'm also an atheist. Oh.
He had never told anyone he was an atheist before that moment.
He'd never said it to me, never said it to Mom, as far as I know.
And I've heard that a bit. Sometimes just being the atheist in your family, actually this is even kind of true for my family, just saying that to have one person in your family says you're an atheist, you protect other members of your family. You give them a context. The other one is less funny, and I have an uncle who actually rejoined the Catholics, and that's hard. They make you they have people stand on you while you do push-ups. And,
no, they put a cross on your back.
Yikes. And I can actually show you how it looks like because we're actually live. And it's the first time I had been back home since I started the radio show. And we're talking about the radio show and everybody's really excited. My uncle walks in the room. He starts participating in the conversation as well. And he's really excited for me. And he comes up and he puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, God willing, you will succeed. That's my family. So they're a fun bunch, and I'm actually going to get to see them soon. That is all the time we have for today. This was Ask an Atheist. You can give us a voicemail at... You can send us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. We are recorded in front of an audience in Sacramento. Thank you guys very much. This has been a lot of fun. There is no post-show for you on the radio, but we're going to go have a couple of drinks. Catch you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Aren't you guys going to stick around and do another?
Yes.